G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, November 10. I'm John Barker. Joining me once again is Joel Marshall. And Joel, without further ado, congratulations on picking the cup winner for the second year in a row.
Well, thanks, Barks. Yeah, it was, surely my luck's run out. You can't do it 3 years in a row unless you're tipping Mackay Diva every year, I guess. But unfortunately, the punt should have been kinder to me, but wasn't. Couldn't lob a double or a quaddy or a trifecta or a pick four. Couldn't get anything up with it. But
bag it straight out.
Had something small on it, but just needed a Prince of Arran to hold on for second, and nice little first four result would have come my way. But nevertheless, good to pick the cup winner, and yeah, good effort by the horse, wasn't it? Only seventh start in a race. We saw, so you think, I think when Cox played at his fifth start, and now we're seeing horses win the Melbourne Cup at their seventh start. Who would have thunk it?
Indeed. Well, as we speak, the Oaks meeting is going ahead, and it's certainly perfect weather for it, and track playing well, as indeed it has throughout the carnival. We, however, are going to be talking about the final day, Saturday. Still two big Group 1s to go, and a number of other stakes races which we will take you through. But we've got a cracking VRC Sprint Classic worth $1 million, Joel, and we've got a pretty terrible McKinnon Stakes worth $2 million. It's almost crisis time for the McKinnon, isn't it? Rethink. Time for a rethink.
Yeah, $2 million. I mean, it just, well, there's going to be more imports come and target this race, isn't there? You would think, like, why?
You would think, I mean, as I've written in Winning Post and Best Bets, you've now got a Cox Plate worth $5 million and this worth $2 million. So you've got two middle distance weight for age races, total pool $7 million. You'd really reckon that you'd get a few more. Maybe you'll get more with Winks gone next year.
Everyone's going to be clamouring for spots in the Cox Plate. You would think they'll be running a capacity field, so there's going to be a few miss out, you would think. But there should be just more horses around with her not here, if she is not here, 12 months' time. You would think there's just going to be more horses around looking to cash in, and therefore, yeah, bigger field. But, disappointing for $2 million. You could have got away with, a quarter of that being put up in prize money, I would have thought, for that field.
The remarkable thing is that we had 8 of 9 years where, in the last one, the McKinnon moved back a week, but even in 7 of the 8 years previous to that, the McKinnon winner had come through the Cox Plate, and in that case, they only had a week to back up. Last year's McKinnon winner obviously did not run in the Cox Plate, but
so where are the Cox Plate runners from this year?
There's none. So the only one who was nominated was Savvy Cope, and she's running in the Matriarch.
So. Against the Mares, yeah. You'd think there could have been a couple of other. Well, obviously, Ben, they were probably never going to go with Ben Battle, considering they had Blair House here.
It looks like a benefit for Blair House, doesn't it? Unless Latrobe is probably better than I think he's probably going to turn out to be.
Yeah, no, Blair House is going to be a pretty warm favourite. I think they went up $4 on Monday off Noms, and I think a few people thought, well, that was good value considering, even though there were quite a few Noms, but they obviously knew the race was going to fall away, and I think 230 into 215 or something like that at acceptance point. So he's going to start a very warm favourite.
All righty. Well, we'll take you right. We'll get to that fairly shortly, because we'll take you right through the black type at Flemington on Saturday. Race 3 we start with. It's the watchracing.com. Springtime Stakes listed for 3-year-olds, 1,400 metres.
Going with number 14, Big Night Out. Liked him in a similar race 2 runs back at Flemington, and he ran well out wide on the track, hit the line strongly, beaten less than a length by Wild Planet. That was the Rainier race, and then Forget Mooney Valley. We know the track wasn't playing to horses like him getting back in the field, so he can improve sharply. 6 Ring-a-Ding-Ding, well, he was outstanding in that race at Mooney Valley against the pattern. He's going to be well found in the market now, though. Yulong January going super. He'll push forward, be very hard to beat. He was safe for this from last week. And 8, Scottish Rogue was a bit plain first up in Adelaide, but buried along the fence. Just willing to forgive that, just looking at his form through Good and Fast, which would hold up here.
A Ring-a-Ding-Ding for me, number 6, from Yulong January. I've got Long Leaf in for third, and the up-and-comer No Emotion for fourth, 6, 4, 1 and 12. Race 4 at Flemington on Saturday is the Derucci Chatham Stakes, a Group 3 over 1,400 and a handicap.
Yeah, I went number one, Widgie Turf. Just so consistent. $5, you can probably back him each way and you'd be pretty safe. He's going to probably have to duck and weave a little bit from that gate. But if he gets clear running, you know he's going to run well. He just never runs badly. And he'll be fitter for that run at Moonee Valley the other day, which he was coming off a bit of a freshen. So gone sort of the safe way with him. From number eight, Age of Fire might be a big improver. He was held up early in the straight, really only got clear late and had no chance. And the betting suggests he wasn't going to do much first up. So his first start for Darren Weir. Of course, he was a Group 1 winner in New Zealand. So he might be a sharp improver. He did hit the line okay once clear there at Caulfield. Four Dream Force, scratched from the Group 1 last week. Much better second up, 1,400. And if he can hold that sort of form, he'll be going close. And number 9 in for fourth, Parast. He did run in the Group 1 last week, the Kennedy Mile, and just went too hard from a wide gate. Back to 1,400 does suit.
I've gone for Spectroscope for James Cummings and the Godolphin team, who just are knocking up training winners at this carnival, especially now that Flemington's carnival's on, but also beforehand. They're having a magnificent spring from one Widgie Turf. Four Dreamforce, who I must confess I actually tipped on top in that Group 1 last week, but barrier 13 at the 1,400 worries me slightly. Maybe Saturday that won't be a problem. And 16, Warranty for fourth, 10-1-4-16. Race 5, Queen Elizabeth Stakes, 2,600 metre, Group 3.
Number 13, Sully here. Just hoping he's just got that little bit of room for improvement. I think getting back to Flemington will suit. He finished runner-up to Ace High in the Derby this time last year. He's been coming along well. First two runs were excellent. Went to the Cranbourne Cup, gave a huge sight, nailed late by Octobello, and then went up 500 metres to the Moonee Valley Cup. And it was a good day to be close to the speed, as he was. But I thought he stuck on really well, and he'll be fitter for that 2,500 metre run under the belt. So I think he's going to be way over the odds in what does look a very difficult race, I must be said. 12, Miss Admiration, in for second. She was very good at Moonee Valley, long way off them. Really hit the line strongly. She's an out-and-out stayer. 7, in for third, Jarmay, who's backing up from the Lexus last Saturday, where he ran well behind a Prince of Arran and a Brimham Rocks. Of course, we saw a Prince of Arran run so well on the Tuesday. And 6 in for 4th, Casterton. Didn't mind his Australian debut in the Geelong Cup. Got a long way back and hit the line okay there. And wasn't too far off Finch, who did run well in the Melbourne Cup.
Yeah, I got 3 of those in my tips, but I've gone for Lord Fandango for Archie Alexander and the long-distance jockey King Kieran McAvoy to beat Jarmay, Casterton and Sully. So 3, 7, 6 and 13. Race 6, 7 News Matriarch Stakes, 2,000 metres for the mares.
11, Temple of Bell, best of the day for me. I've been waiting for her for a while to get to this race. I think this has been her target the whole way along. Unplaced all three this prep, but she's going super. Excellent run at Caulfield off a moderate tempo, and then Flemington last Saturday in the Group 1 did as well as she could at that level from a wide gate, getting that far back. Savage of the line, 2,000 metres, ideal. $5, that's probably right price. I wouldn't want any shorter, and she probably won't be any shorter in that sort of race. 7, Kanedna, who I was with in the Empire Rose last week. I thought she'd do better. Darren Weir did say before the race he thought she may be looking for 2,000, so taking that on board, she was okay. I'll have a little saver on her at double figures. 3 in for third, Lover Lover. Won the Wakeful this time last year. I think she's been going okay in Sydney. Put a pen through the heavy 9 run last start. Hit the line okay in a recent trial behind Redzel. And 8, She's Dashing, back to Flemington, can certainly improve. She was very good first up. Stock Stakes, didn't have much luck, and the Cranbourne Cup run was pretty good from the back.
Well, I've actually got 4 completely different horses here. I've missed the memo on Temple of Bell. I've got Savvy Cope on top. Only beat the one home in the Cox Plate, but this certainly is a different grade. Aqua Divina, up and comer, down from New South Wales for second. I've got Our Libretto third and Aloysia fourth, so I'm 2, 12, 14 and 1. Race 7 is the race of the day without any doubt in the world. It is the VRC Sprint Classic, second leg of the Quaddie, worth $1 million, and it is it's standard weight for age. Reds won it last year off a off the Everest win, and comes off the Everest again, and you'd almost, you know, you'd wonder why you bother going around for $1 million after you just won about 10. But anyway, here you go.
Yeah, he's going to be in the game for sure. I'm hoping a dry track can see the return to form of In Her Time, who was excellent first up in the Premier behind Santa Ana Lane and had Red Zell behind her that day. And then she struck the heavy in the Everest and just didn't seem to handle it. That was her first go on the heavy. She'd been to the soft and she won the Galaxy on a soft six, but I don't think she was all that comfortable in the Everest. So back on top of the ground, I've got to give her another chance. Spirit of Valor's two local runs have been excellent, and the Scalacci and the Manicato, wide all the way and just very game there at Moonee Valley, so got to respect him. One Red Zell in for third, he's going to be hard to beat, obviously. And seven, Kementari, who was excellent in the Manicato from a long way back.
Yeah, Redkirk Warrior, I've got on top. Just so impressive in those two back in the autumn. Clearly didn't come up in the UK. Obviously resumed with the Lightning, won that over 1,000 better at the 1,200, and has taken care of Redzel over this straight journey. So got him on top of Redzel. Third, I got the Manicato winner, Brave Smash, and yes, Spirit of Valor, certainly two Australian runs, very impressive. 4-1-2-8. A Very Ordinary Sepult McKinnon Stakes is a race 8, 2,000 metres, standard weight for age, and there is $2 million fairly cheaply up for grabs here.
Yeah, I had to be with the favourite, Blair House. Both Australian runs have been really good. Got back in the Underwood, hit the line well, and then tried very hard in a two-horse war with Ben Battle, who went to the Cox Plate and ran super behind Wink. So just looks his race, does it. Blair House, very hard to beat. 8, Shillelagh in for second. Interestingly, out to 2,000 for the first time in her career, start 30. She's a Savabeel. Sometimes these milers do struggle to go to 2,000, but she's just about in career best form, isn't she, this prep? Epsom, Toorak form, excellent. And then given a sweet ride, it must be said, last week, but she won very well, looked to have a bit in hand, so I think she's got to be respected. 7 in for third, Latrobe. As you said, he's probably the X factor. He could come out and win and you wouldn't be shocked. He just beat Rostropovich, well, half a length margin, but they had a two-horse battle in the Irish Derby, and we saw that horse run really well in the Cup on Tuesday. And Extra Brute, I've thrown in for fourth, the three-year-old, who bounced right back to his best in the Victoria Derby. Back to 2,000, that's an obvious, well, I think it's a bit of a negative, but he gets in with the lightweight, so I've thrown him in. But, you know, you can make little cases for Trap for Fools, might get a cheap lead. Octobello, 2,000 metres, Flemington might improve. Doubt Defying's 1-8 from 17 might keep improving. So I think you can make little cases for most of them outside of the obvious favourite, Blair House.
Yes, and if you want to read about Octobello and his chances, Joel has written all about it on page 4 of your winning post this week. Yeah, I couldn't go past Blair House. Made him my best. I don't know if $2.15 is any sort of spoil, but you'd think if he reproduces that Caulfield Stakes run, he just wins. Although, still, we don't know about Latrobe. As you say, did beat Rostropovich. Rostropovich form held up well on Tuesday. Latrobe in for second. Extra Brute, the unknown quantity, the three-year-old. Not 100% convinced that was a very, very strong Victoria Derby, but I suppose we'll see. And Shillelagh for fourth. So 3, 7, 9, and 8. And that's the end of the black type, but we may as well finish off the quaddie with what is going to be a very, very competitive last race of the 37 that we've had at the carnival, and that is the Grand Handicap. It's a benchmark 80 over 1,100 with a full field of 16 to have tackled a straight 5.5.
Yeah, well, I've got a couple of emergencies in the numbers here. 19 Ocean Deep on top, lightly raced, only 4 starts, 2 wins. Won her first couple and then came back in the autumn earlier this year and was okay without sort of being brilliant. But I've liked her two recent jump outs at Flemington. I think she's going well. And yeah, I was ready to have something on her wherever she resumed. And this is, you know, might be a little bit tough, but watch the market with her. 18, I Did It Again, is racing well without winning. But he gets blinkers first time and probably drawn out in the right spot. They'll probably come towards the outside. 9 in for third, Urac, 4 from 4, now with a new stable, but she's looked very smart in her career to date. And 2 Esperance, he didn't get around the valley at all, but he was pretty good late. Has the 62, but he seems a pretty genuine type.
Yeah, my top two got the 2 outside barriers. Let's hope that is the place to be in the straight at the end. 15 El Magnificence and number 9 Urac made El Magnificence my value bet of the day. For third, I put in number 7 Lagerfeld. And for fourth, number 4 Revenir. And I'd be including the other Cummings Godolphin runner in Beacon, number 8. Just wouldn't surprise to see them cap a killer carnival with victory in the last race. My numbers in the last were 15, 9, 7 and 4. As I said, my best was Blair House, race 8, number 3, Value, race 9, number 15, El Magnificence.
I've made my best Temple of Bell. As we pointed out, I had 4, you had 4. There's 8 different horses, and it is a difficult race, typically tough matriarch, but I have just been waiting for a while for Temple of Bell, so I'll step in and make her my best. In her time is the Value, and my roughie of the day was Sully.
All right, well, having dealt with the cream at Flemington, we head to Rose Hill, and as the Seekers would sing, the carnival is definitely over there, because we are all benchmark all day, bar, of course, the Class 3 Highway Handicap and a 5-horse, 2-year-old race. But if you can get the winner, you'll still be paid in Aussie dollars. So what have you got for us?
I'm going with the Queensland Visitor as my best for the day. Race 8, number 5, I've got a Nell, and he's had his task made easy with the scratchings of Revenir and Beacon, who, as you mentioned, will both go around in the last at Flemington. I've got a Nell, recent acquisition to the Barry Lockwood stable, was good first up, and then had a weight swing on Bold Chance and turned the tables on that galloper at Doomben last start. Corey Bayliss, first ride in Sydney, promising young apprentice, gets the horse down to 55. He's got a good draw to use and go forward and give them plenty to chase. And my value is Highway, race 6. I do respect the very short favourite, number 1, Sky Boy, who will be very tough to beat. And, well, his form even more so now that he's beaten Savakul, and we've just witnessed her come out and win well on Oaks Day. But Highway is a mare that showed a bit of staying promise last prep. She finished 3rd behind Young Star in the Roses. I thought her 2nd up run this time in was good. And she dropped back in distance, which was never going to suit last start, but she was okay getting home late behind Sexy Eyes. Out to 2,000, she can settle closer from a good gate. And at big odds, I can certainly have something on her and to include her in exotics with the favourite Skyboy.
All right, they're racing on the Parks track at Morfordville on Saturday. Richo's best comes up in race 5. It's number 2, Lord Topper, but he's going up against the James Jordan Gem, and that is race 5, number 4, Arrow Lane. And surprisingly enough, neither of those are the favourite. The warm favourite is the number 1, Zalmona. Richo's value bet, race 6, number 7, Rewarding Laughter. And James Jordan's other gems are race 7, number 16, Miss Wahoo. Does just need a couple of scratchings to make the field, but it is a big field, you think there might be. And race 8, number 4, Lure Me In. Fairly short with barrier 20. At about $3.40, but James thinks that a bit of a racing room will suit the horse, as he can sustain a run, but hasn't necessarily got a huge burst of acceleration. Sunshine Coast, the venue for Queensland Metro Racing on Saturday. Joel, track good up there, the big fields.
Yeah, big fields, usually the order for the Sunny Coast. My best is She's Reliable, race 4, number 12, on the backup from last week. She was 1,400 to 2,020. I tipped her to win. I didn't make her my best, but I thought she'd run well. I didn't think she'd be 31 into 17 and then start $3.60 favourite on race day, but she did. There was a lot of support for her. She just got a long way back, and she was very good in the last 200 metres to run on into fifth, assuming she handles the backup. The bigger track and that run under the belt are both positives. She should be hard to beat. And my value is So Skilled. Race 7, number 10. Interesting. Sort of been watching this bloke. He was really good first up at 1,200 metres. They dropped him back to 1,000. Was never going to suit. And then they had a couple of 1,300, 1,400 metre races penciled in, but races were abandoned. They had the strike action, and he ended up missing a couple of runs. Stayed at 1,000 last start, too short, got held up, but hit the line well. Hopefully, 1,400 Saturday, it's his turn, and he should be decent each way odds.
In Perth at Ascot, the carnival starts to warm up, and there's three black type races. Race 5 is the Conquer Cystic Fibrosis Ascot Gold Cup. Over 1,800 metres, a listed event. BJ Ryan likes number 10. That's race 5, number 10. Missile Launch has faded at both outings this campaign, but racing his way into condition, did record a race fastest 400 to 200 metres split in the Northern Cup last start, and maps well from a low draw. Race 6 is the Warroa Lee Steer Stakes over 1,400. This is a Group 2, and there's a $1.80 favourite. It won't surprise you to learn that it is Peter's Investments, Adam Durant and Willie Pike. And it's Enticing Star. And last week we had the railway favourite go around at very short odds, and Salute. This one is the Winterbottom favourite, in fact, and it's Enticing Star, race 6, number 8. And the other listed race at Ascot is the CBRE Supporting Cystic Fibrosis Fair Effort Stakes. This is race 7. It's over 1,400 for 3-year-old colts and geldings. Listed event, and Chick's pick number 2 is BJ's Selection. BJ's best race 2, number 4, Sovereign Trade, his value bet. Race 3, number 3, Mississippi Delta. There is also Group 1 action across the Tasman earlier in the day, Joel.
Yeah, it's the first day of the 3-day Riccarton Carnival. 2,000 guineas on Saturday, the Group 2 Copeland's Mile on the Wednesday, and then the 1,000 guineas for the fillies Saturday week, but the big one on Saturday for the boys. And I've gone with number 9, Dawn Patrol. This is race 7. He's come up a bit shorter than I thought he would, $6. He's 2 from 2, yet to taste black tight, but his two wins have been really good. And he beat a horse that I'm going to give a big chance to in the 1,000 guineas next week. So I'll be keen to see how the form line holds up. But yeah, he's got to step up to the plate, and I think he's short enough at $6. But gone for Dawn Patrol, number 9, to beat 6 Bit Lippy, 2 Madison County, and 4 The Chosen One. He's my value bet, Dawn Patrol. Hopefully he doesn't get in any shorter. And my best at Riccarton's in the last race, 10, number 13, Pin Up Coat, whose first up run was disappointing, but she hit back strongly next time with a good effort. Stays at 1,400. She was competitive in black type company over a bit further last prep, but just hoping that she, now that she's back in form, her class will take her a long way on Saturday. Tarapa is the other meeting. Across the ditch, my best bet is Saha, race 4, number 2. Runner-up at his last couple. Should benefit from the run at the mile last time out and be hard to beat. And my value is Showdown, race 3, number 8. Good debut at a big price, finishing 4th. Shouldn't be that big a price on Saturday. Gets in with a 3-kilo claim and should run a good race at HI odds.
All right, that wraps up a big Saturday of racing around Australasia. Don't forget to pick up your winning post this weekend. We have got all the form for Friday, Saturday and Sunday with Ararat Cup and China Bowl Day highlighting the Sunday action. We've got all your favourite features and columnists as well, including Matt Stewart, Shane Templeton, second part of Richo's interview with Greg Hall, and plenty more reading and entertainment in your winning post. Still only $5.50. Finally, our best $20 bet of the weekend, Joel.
Well, I will go with Temple of Bell, race 6 at Flemington, number 11.
And I'll go $10 each way, race 9, number 15, El Magnificence. Have a great weekend, everybody. A great end of the carnival. Back plenty of winners, and we will talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.